Good morning. May it please the court, Patricia Novotny on behalf of Elizabeth Krueger. I would like to reserve 4 minutes for rebuttal. This case asks the question of whether the court can require a child to provide access to his parents to his personal college financial account as a condition of receiving support the parents agreed to pay. We've answered in our brief no for at least 6 reasons, I think, and I'm not sure which of those the court wants to talk about. I am not sure either what it is that Dad exactly wants here. His argument shifts, and so it's been kind of hard to pin that down.
What is it that you want him not to have?
Well, we don't have the ability to give him access to the child's personal financial
account. But you know generally about financial accounts and what they contain?
Do I know generally? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then, based on your general knowledge of what one usually finds in a financial account, what particular item are you trying to prevent him from having?
We're not privacy. We don't have a particular item that we're trying to prevent the father from having access to. It's the child's interest in his own control over his personal financial account. And if you understand how the university works, it's not just tuition and billing. It's anything that the child puts on his financial account, like shopping at the university store, parking, library fees, computing fees, copy fees. So he goes to the university bookstore, and he buys his dad a Father's Day gift. He gets him the cheap T-shirt and then buys himself a $40 pair of sunglasses. It's the same kind of financial information.
So how does this get on the financial account? Is it like through use of a credit card?
Yeah, they have that's his express account, his discretionary dollars that he swipes at any of the university controls, and that's in the record about copy and computing services, et cetera. It's like a bank account. In their brief, they says it's not like a bank account. It's like a debit card. So it shows these kinds of personal charges, the way he uses his private funds, his discretionary funds, I should say.
So some of those funds, though, include things like books and supplies that are covered?
They might if he buys them at the that aren't covered.
That are covered.
Books. Yes. Oh, yeah, at the bookstore, okay. Absolutely. A lot of his books, it seems, are purchased outside of the college financial account. So there's a separate receipt for those. And, in fact, when you get right down to it, all of the big-ticket items here are verified over and over again. They're in the billing statement. They're on the court's website. You know, Mom did not go to court here to dicker over $30 dorm dues or $100 express account, discretionary dollars, which is what I think you're asking about. Dad has unilaterally withheld big money from Mom. From the child, I should say.
But Mom did apparently go to court to make sure that if he does buy his dad a cheap T-shirt, Dad doesn't find out about it.
Well, she doesn't have the power to give access to the account, the child's account. Okay. So she went to court to get Dad to pay his share because otherwise the child was going to wash out of school.
Okay, but he's withholding it because he feels he should have the right to examine these expenditures. And Mom feels that, yes, he has the right to know about the big-ticket expenditures, but not about the small-ticket expenditures. Is that your position?
Well, she doesn't have the power to give him that access. That's our position.
He has the power, though. The son.
The child does, right. Yes. And so the question is, can the court require the child to give Dad and Mom access to how he spends all his discretionary money, as small as that amount is?
So is 2609.225 a cap on the authority of the Superior Court? Why couldn't the court in a given situation say, yeah, I see what the statute says, but I'm going to require, because we've had squabbles about what's included, not included, give them everything. Give them access.
Yeah, I think it is a cap when you put it in those terms. And here's, let me get back just procedurally. We're not there. We're not in a modification. So court can't do it here. Dad would have to go and modify. Secondly, I don't think that's really even what Dad wants here. But, setting that aside, because his argument shifts. First, he wants, the scholarship. He won't agree to that. He could have access to all that scholarship information if he had entered into an agreement like they did with child number one. Then he would, and he does get that letter. It's not on the billing statement because the child must pay, or someone must pay tuition, fees, all of that stuff before the scholarship money is refunded.
Let me ask you about that. And The 2014 statement, which was provided to Dad apparently mistakenly by the college, and we have a printout of the, where there's a screen print, I can't tell. I think it's a CP506.
I can't.
That either. Had the tuition, room and board, and it included the information on the scholarship. But what Mom provided was she's just sent an email with the room and board, meal plan, room, and
yeah.
tuition, and left out the scholarship information.
Well, no, she didn't leave out the scholarship information. Well, that does not. She doesn't generate that. That comes from the school to the student.
So why couldn't that have been sent directly to Dad?
He did send that directly to Dad. He sent the...
The school sent it directly to him.
Well, the first time you're talking about. You know, I think, and honestly, I don't know what Dad got that time. He got that through some back channel, but the they were negotiating whether the scholarship money applied, right? It doesn't show up on the later statement because, as I say, there's statements that the college produces over the course of the year. And the first statement, the one he has to, that he gives Dad so that he can go to school and gives Mom, is the one that shows the things that you have to pay before you can go to school. You don't even get the scholarship money till later, right? And then it shows up on a later statement, so he got that then. But let me remind you, the scholarship money is off the table. You know, that's been clarified. He could have. Dad's an attorney. He was represented. He could have. They could have agreed that scholarship money was part of the deal or that disclosure was part of the deal. I don't mind. Or the disclosure was part of the deal. They could have agreed to a lot of things, and they didn't. The PSA, you know, has a certain scope, and, you know, Dad can't rewrite that unless he goes to modify. And so, and I, just to get back to Judge Becker, you know.
I think if you.
One more minute, if
you
I.
Want to go into, oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, 1 minute. I don't think the court here has to reach this bigger policy question. I think this is. You know, this is a mountain out of a molehill, but I don't think it's irrelevant. Kids are people, too, and a college student has a right to some autonomy over, you know, what is it? Yeah, it's discretionary spending that amounts to de minimis, you know, amounts here. You know, the issue here is, does Dad have to pay the big ticket items on, you know, sufficiently verified proof of them? Yes, he does. You know, he doesn't get access. He's just, this is a control issue for the dad. And I think he's being a bully, and I don't think the court should side with him. There's nothing hidden here. He makes no evidence. There's no evidence that anything is hidden here. And, you know, I think the only thing I could find, why doesn't this come up more often, about what this means, educational records? You know, the best I could find was Judge Coleman in Marriage of Kelly. You know, he's talking about, you know, the agreement or the order identifies what it is that they have to pay, X, Y, and Z. And then he said, those amounts are easily calculated. They are. You go to the website. Commissioners say this over and over in the trial court. Dad had that information, what he needed to pay. And, you know, his resistance should not be, I think, further encouraged by this court or the trial court. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Sydney Tribe here on behalf of the respondent and cross-appellant Stuart Sintimer. As the panel has gleaned and Judge Mann has pointed out already, this all started over disputes about what the actual charges were that the child, now a grown man, was incurring while he was in college. The original agreement says that Mr. Sintimer is required, along with Ms. Krueger, to pay all post-secondary educational expenses, not just tuition. There have been disputes about the meal plan, disputes about fees, whether a certain fee was actually charged by the college, disputes over the health care. And what Mr. Sintimer has maintained, and his position has not shifted, it's been the same since this started up in 2015, is that the resolution to this is that he needs to see access to these online financial accounts so that there isn't any dispute about who's representing what.
Let me ask you. I asked counsel about this screen print from 2014 that
yes.
Mr. Sintimer did receive from the college. Is that a sufficient printout?
No, Your Honor. And again,
in the declaration he says it is. He needs an actual printout.
Again, at this point in the process, The problem is that there have been too many misrepresentations, and they are documented in the record. There have been too many misrepresentations about this amount or that amount. Go ahead.
But for the big ticket items, the tuition, the meal plan, room and board, how much he's getting in the scholarship, those all come off official printouts from the college.
But the entire point of why we're here and the entire point of all this process and all the judicial process that's been involved in getting to this point is that for both big ticket and small ticket items, access to these online accounts, his student financial accounts with the college, not all of his bank accounts, not any private bank accounts, his transactions with the college, will resolve all of this at once. And then it's not a question of every semester he gets a screenshot or a letter or an email that says, you owe XYZ because I have incurred this charge.
But if the son prints out the official screen print and mails it to dad, what's wrong with that? Why isn't dad getting the information?
Because
the son?
I think that if there was a lot of trust involved here, we wouldn't be here. And frankly, the son is an adult, and the son...
Let's get to concrete details. I mean, what exactly is the fight about? The son can send the screenshot. It has all the money for the big ticket item. So are the parties here really fighting about small amounts, like how much he spends of discretionary funds and the father's desire to know?
This isn't about discretionary funds.
What is it about?
It is about establishing what the actual college expenses are that Mr. Sinsheimer is required to pay. And, yes, there can be misrepresentations when it comes to big-ticket items, which happened early on, but there can also be legitimate disputes about the smaller-ticket items, like meal plans and dorm fees and such.
What is an example of such a dispute that your client is concerned about?
So the dispute over the meal plan. Are you talking about one of the big-ticket ones or the small-ticket
ones? Well, I don't know at this point what you consider big or small, but just give me your best shot on a big and a small.
So the big dispute, which was the one that started it all, was the dispute over whether or not the net best funds had been from his account had been applied to the tuition, which was supposed to be – that account was
– that's over. I mean, that's
– Exactly. That's exactly right.
Now.
But again
– So what's the big-ticket item now that you're concerned about?
I don't think at this point, well, other than the fact that the past misrepresentations have made Mr. Sinsheimer distrustful of the suggestion that, well, just go to the school's website and see what they charge for tuition and that's what you owe. Well, there's a lot of
Because he thinks what? He thinks that even if he did go and find that information out, it would be wrong?
That might not be what he's actually being charged. Not every student is charged precisely what the general posted tuition of a university is.
Okay, but coming back to the screen print that we have. We have the 2014 screen print. We also have a 2016. They show the meal plan, the housing rent, the tuition, and orientation, other charges. That shows up on the screen print.
Yes.
So that includes the meal plan. So you told Judge Becker that the meal plan was one of the big ticket issues. Well, that shows up on the screen print.
Right. But again, he changes meal plans. The charges change. This isn't just a question of what the school generally charges. For example, the issue about the dorm fees.
No, I'm not talking about general charging. I'm talking about the actual. This is an actual screen print to the son of his charges.
But the son has not sent such screen prints to the father.
So why can't he?
Despite his request. Well, again, we're here not on de novo review of this order. We're here on whether or not the trial court abused its discretion in saying that the solution to this problem is to simply allow the father to have the access to these accounts. The trial court did not see fit to say, son, it's okay for you to send a screenshot of what, you know, you say is from your financial account. The trial court said, we're going to put this to rest right now by allowing the father this access. This is not a privacy violation. Frankly, I don't think it's been noted yet that Ms. Krueger does not have standing to bring a privacy violation claim against Mr. Sinsheimer or against the trial court's order. If the son, who is now an adult, wants his father to pay for his college fees and tuition under this order, then he has to come and challenge his privacy stand, his privacy rights with his own standing and challenge the trial court's order and say that this is a privacy violation. The jurisdiction here is over the trial court over Mr. Sinsheimer and whether the trial court should order Mr. Sinsheimer to just pay whatever fees and amounts are claimed without having any right to know if those are actually genuine. And that's the issue before the court today, is whether or not this access to these, again, the financial transactions with the university, which, yes, may encompass things that are discretionary and not covered by the agreement and covered by this order, but also will reflect all of his financial transactions with the university. It's partly fairness to Mr. Sinsheimer and for clarity, and it's partly to stop all of these judicial proceedings over matters large and small. It can bring it to an end, and Mr. Sinsheimer has maintained since 2015, when this all started up again, that this will resolve the issue and that he can then see what are the mandatory charges and how much they are, and we can stop the endless court proceedings over, you sent me this email with this document attached that I don't know if it's verified or not. Let's cut out the middleman. Mr. Sinsheimer can simply get the information directly from the online accounts. If the son has a problem with that, he can come to the court. He is a grown man, and he can say, I think this is a violation of my privacy rights. But he's not here. Ms. Krueger does not have standing to assert that. And this court's jurisdiction is over these two parties before it, and this court's purview is to decide whether or not the statute at issue and the Constitution allow the trial court's order for this financial access.
Is it a modification? Has the court effectively modified the...
It's not a modification. The court has simply interpreted, again, you have a statute here that says that Mr. Sinsheimer has, as a precondition of payment, has the right to access financial or access to educational records that are necessary to establish support. The order here says he is required to pay all post-secondary college expenses, and therefore these records are necessary to establish support. He is not required under the law to rely on the child's representations. He's not required to rely on the mother's representations. He has a right, as the trial court has interpreted the statute. Again, the language of the order hasn't changed. It hasn't been modified. This is an application of the statute.
Let me ask, step back a minute on a policy question. Do you think this is good policy that interpret the statute to provide parents online access to their child's accounts?
Absolutely.
Even when they become adults?
Absolutely. Because, again, yes, they are adults, but they are also receiving a great benefit to having their college expenses paid for. And, again, we're not talking about every aspect of the child's financial life, as has been suggested in the briefing by Ms. Krueger. We're talking about the child's financial interactions with the institution.
Coming back to Judge Becker's questions, we know we've talked about tuition, room, and board. Those all come on the main statement. What
right.
other statement for smaller expenses are you looking for?
The things like books, things for classes.
Those seem to come like on an Amex bill. Those don't come through the college. Sent copies of American Express bills that aren't from the college for books.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. So you're
those don't show up on the college financial if they were paid for. If the son purchased the book.
Well, not according to that printout, but that doesn't mean that there aren't other expenses that he's requesting to be paid for. The interactions with the college will establish what these mandatory dues and fees are. There are a lot of dues and fees that come along with attending college. It's not simply tuition. And that's why the access to the financial account will show the actual, and again, not simply what charges the university generally charges folks, but what this particular student is actually being charged that his father is obligated to pay for. And again, it's not an invasion of privacy. It's simply a question of establishing through financial records what the necessary expenses are for Mr. Sinsheimer to establish what his support obligation is. Thank you.
just a reminder, we are litigating not because of these little issues, but because the father wouldn't agree to, about the scholarship, and then he unilaterally withheld payment, and he's done that repeatedly. The access question, where does it stop? Why stop with the college account? Why not his bank accounts, his tax returns, everything else? If the court has that kind of power, where is the line that you draw?
Well, but the court didn't order that. That's not in front of us. The court ordered access to the college.
Well, Judge Becker asked me, where does it stop? And Judge Verlin asked me, what's the court's authority? I do think, you know, the bigger principle lurks behind us here. Plus, it wouldn't put a stop to this litigation. The father's argument shift. He keeps bringing up NetVest. That is dead and over with. He said in his pleadings to Judge Allred, the reason I need this is because I need to know about the scholarship. The scholarship is off. That's at CP 439. That's off the table. He won't let it go. That's not. It's not about that. Tuition doesn't change for the students. The tuition is the same. The room and board, the stuff is the same. The meal plan, the only evidence in the record about the meal plan is that they chose a lower meal plan, not a higher one. So, yeah, it varies, but they send that along. It's on that statement, right, what his meal plan is. You know, those big ticket items are not disputed anywhere.
How about the
the other big ticket items are not in the financial account. This gets me back to all the other accounts. If you're going to have to, you know, scour everything to see that there isn't a different charge on the airplane or something, you're going to have access to all of those accounts. Well,
it's
received.
It's limited to college financial records, isn't it? Isn't that what we're talking about here?
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a private credit card or something else, I don't see how that would be covered under the facts of this case.
Well, he's complaining about what should he pay. He's not paying for those expenses like the health insurance that mom pays outside of the college, right? And verifies through receipts, or the transportation costs, which are paid outside of the college, or the books, which are paid outside of the college. So access to the college financial account isn't going to tell him anything except around the margins, this, you know, de minimis stuff that the child spends on copying and bookstore stuff and everything else. Here's the issue. Dad is resisting his payment. I don't know what he's doing this for, but it's not because he lacks the information he needs to pay what he obligated himself to pay for this child. Tuition, room and board, mandatory fees are on the website. The commissioners, you know, just told him over and over again, and the judge, look at the website. They're right there. They're mandatory. Some of them shift. But again, we're diminished. How many times are you going to pay a graduation fee? Once, right?
That's his graduation, by the way.
Next year, thank God. Yeah, next year. But, you know, it would be nice to have Dad pay his support and not have Mom having to take out loans so the kid doesn't have to wash out and come back to school some other time. So we ask the court not only to reverse those portions of the trial court's opinion that exceed the court's authority, the statute's authority, the PSA's authority, but also to award fees under the statute, and what we argue is intransigence in this case. Thank you.
Thank you both. Next up is Lean Len versus Defoe.